Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with Andy Lipson and Kenny Cepeda. And this episode is already on the third week of January. We should have done it maybe in December or the first week of January.
This is when it should be done.
All right. But this is our 2020 predictions episode for political predictions for this year, 2020. Mm-hmm. I know that this is the election year, so we'll be talking about that, but there are other predictions I hope that we can make, and I have some points that we can consider. So that's what we will be doing for this episode. Anyone want to start? Let's get it off the bat.
Let's start with the elections. And I actually want to start, because I've been saying for a long time that Trump's going to win. Trump's going to win the presidential election. And I'm starting to have a different thought, even though I still, so I'm going to go for it. First, I want to start with the Democratic, who the Democratic Party candidate is going to be. And I'm going to make a prediction, but I want to hear from y'all about it as well. Okay.
Well, I might have a different prediction.
That's the whole point. Then we can prove, we can know that you're wrong. We'll have it here on record.
I was not wrong for the last predictions. Who was wrong on the plane?
So wait, we're starting with who's going to be the...
Who's going to be the Democratic Party candidate? Who they got among that weak-ass field they have, who is going to actually crawl to the finish line and become and be the person who's in the crosshairs of Trump? So I've been thinking about this because for a long time, I've pretty much been just saying Biden, you know? But I think the easy choice and the safe choice for me to say, Biden's going to win out, the establishment's going to win, you know, they're going to get the person that they want. But I have been thinking about 2016 and how essentially Trump, you know, throttled the establishment Republicans using his populist message. Hmm. And the world is a weird place right now. And nothing that we expect to happen is really quite happening, except that there's no working class struggle, and that seems to continue in this country for the most part. And I'll say more about that. But in terms of electoral politics and what's going on, just weird stuff is taking place. And so I think I'm going to make the prediction that Bernie Sanders is going to win the Democratic, is going to be the candidate. And that'll be the first prediction I'll make. And should I go then go to the president, or do y'all want to say something?
Let's go to the second.
So Bernie, should I say anything more about that?
Why do you think he has a chance now?
Because it's such a weak field. I don't even think they're billionaire Blomberg or Steyer. What's that guy's name?
Steiner
or something, you know. The billionaires can't do anything at this point. And Biden, I think, he's so lame. And I don't think Hillary Clinton's going to come in and try to swoop in. I do think there's a potential for a brokered convention so that even though Bernie Sanders has enough of the delegates from all the combination of Super Tuesdays and all that kind of stuff, that they could try to pull something off. I just don't think they'll be able to do it this time because the Democratic Party just doesn't. The establishment seems weak, doesn't seem to have an answer. They try their little tricks with Warren and even Biden going after them. Every time they go after Sanders, he goes up in the polls. Clinton comes out and says he's totally unpopular, trying to torpedo his campaign. And all it does is make him more popular because these people are so hated. So when Hillary Clinton says you're not popular, then people like you more because Hillary Clinton is hated. So I think the establishment, two things. One, I think the establishment doesn't have many tricks to play out here. And two, I just think the electorate and the people in the United States are pissed. And they're just, this economy is not working for them. War is not working for them. The environment is not working for them. And I think Medicare is a major issue. I think it's going to be a populist who's going to win. And I think there's going to be two populist candidates running against each other this time. That's my prediction, which is surprising for me. But I'll go for it.
I have switched. I thought that before. Now I think differently. Okay. I think that Joe Biden is going to win. The reason why I think is because he, no matter how the polls go, he keeps surging back and forth, I mean, as the top contender. And he is mostly accepted by the establishment and by, I think, most centrists. I think Bernie Sanders, unfortunately, will be undermined by the Democratic Party as he was in 2016. And he just keeps coming up, even if Elizabeth Warren surged at one point, Bernie Sanders surged at one point, but he just keeps coming up frequently. And so that is my prediction, that he is the beloved candidate of the Democratic Party, and he is going to win the primary. I don't think Elizabeth Warren will win. I really don't, and it's not because I think she isn't competent enough. I think that Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren are women, and unfortunately the Democratic Party has shot themselves on their own foot using identity politics in a very strategic way for their own benefit and not for the benefit of actually liberating women institutionally from sexism. They've used it, as we had discussed in the last episode, for their own strategic political move mm-hmm. in the next chess piece to be able to undermine another candidate.
Yeah.
And that is why identity politics isn't popular. And the reason why women, I think, are not right now, especially with Trump as well, using sexism, it is unfortunate, I think. And I think that's what Bernie Sanders was trying to tell Elizabeth Warren in 2018 in November in their private meeting, which is that in this very tenuous state, that women are just are being attacked. I mean, look at even the abortion debate right now. I'm not going into it, but I'm just saying that how much women are being attacked right mm-hmm. now on those fronts. Mm-hmm. So I want to see a woman, but I don't want to see a woman in the Democratic Party. I want to see a woman leader in more of a socialist campaign, which I have in mind a few. But that's what I think, unfortunately, that Bernie Sanders will be undermined. Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, the nation is too divided for them. Trump will use that against them. And Joe Biden will win.
Do you think Joe Biden?
The Democratic primary.
Democratic, okay.
He'll be the presidential
candidate. For the primary.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I can see, I kind of see the possibility of, you know, I don't know who's going to win, but either, you know, Bernie Sanders and Warren pulling together at the end. You know, that would be the ticket, trying to compete with Trump, because I still think identity politics still has a grip on people. I don't know. Again, I still see the strength of, you know, the Women's March to a degree, and people aligning.
It was last Saturday.
Yeah, people aligning with, you know, behind Warren as a symbol of, you know, change for women. I definitely see Bernie Sanders still, you know, despite, you know, all the shoving to the side or, you know, all the attacks, he still also has a presence in the Democratic Party, even though he's weaker, I think, than 2016. I do agree with you that there is, the Democrats are being pushed to accept some more of populist, you know, less establishment candidate, because people are tired. You know, Biden, I am surprised Bloomberg is actually running, and I don't quite know what to make of that. To me, I think that would be the ticket in some way or form. Sanders, Warren.
You think who's going to be the president? You think one's president, one's vice president kind of thing?
Yeah.
You got to pick a president then.
For the primary?
And I think it's going to play out depending on how it looks at the end, as they're getting closer to election time.
Yeah, but this is a prediction episode.
Oh, I think Sanders.
All right.
I think Sanders. But and then maybe we can jump into the prediction of the elections.
Yeah.
I still think Trump is going to win. Mm. I think Bernie Sanders has lost a lot of momentum, especially since last time. I don't see the energy behind him that happened, in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I still don't see, the economy is still kind of, wobbling along, even though economic indicators are signaling that something is coming. That's probably another prediction.
Yep.
But the fact is that it hasn't hit yet.
Right.
The elections are, 9 months?
Yeah, let's see. 10?
Yeah, November. So
November, it's 9 months away.
Yeah. So, and time is ticking, and it's going to come sooner than we think.
10 months. Wait. November? It's the beginning of November.
Yeah.
So it's 10 months. Okay.
And by the time, a recession is officially, called or, it's official and it has to be 3/4 of negative, whatever. That's the technical definition of a recession. By that time, the elections have already, are way underway. Mm-hmm. And so, I just see this division, people to the right, people to the left, and this, partisan approach to politics. And so what I hear on the left is we got to win at any cost. It's about winning. It's not even just about changing the system fundamentally. We have to win because we have to beat them. So I don't, so they'll jump behind anyone. And so that's the reason I think they will have to jump behind Sanders. But I do think it's a toss-up between Sanders and Warren at the moment.
All right. Do you want to go? Because
for the
presidential, November.
The November elections. I, unfortunately, look at history and very few presidential candidates have won over an incumbent. And Donald Trump is... This will be her second year, and so he most likely will win as an incumbent, the presidential election. And if they don't win, it's because of two things: the economy and the amount of deaths that they have for a war. And sometimes, like George Senior Bush. Didn't win a second term because he just wasn't connected to the people. I mean, he was just not at all just connected to his constituents. But I that's how I feel about Trump, that he just is so, he's so simple-minded. He's so able to connect. It's a strategy. He has a way to connect with people.
It's populist.
And he criticizes what it's on everyone's mind, but people don't say, like political correctness, like, what people feel. They don't know how to sort of deal with the things like immigration. So they don't know how to place those misplaced resentment when it's really about the economy and about globalization and austerity measures. And, just there's a lot of things, but I think people see what's in right in their face, and they see some new people in their community, and they think, what's going on? This must be the cause, right? Because people place immigrants as the bully person. So I think that Trump really used the most perfect thing that Republicans weren't using, which is the immigration issue. And that is to say, this is really the issue that's going on. And most Republicans sort of said it, but in coded words, and he said it out blatantly, like, what's her name, Coulter?
Ann Coulter,
who has been talking about it for a long time, that she was trying to tell Republicans, take up this issue, because it's a very popular issue amongst a lot of people.
Because people are mad, working people, and that's when we talk about identity politics
and using racism.
Yeah, and telling someone that's struggling, you have privilege, and using these blanket statements, and, what do you expect? And so then, and I mean, I don't know if we're continuing.
I want to go with my prediction on the, I want to say something about the president, because, if Eduardo is right and Biden wins the Democratic primary, then Trump's definitely going to win, in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But if Sanders wins, first off, they're both weak. Both Sanders and Trump were populist in 2016, and they were both of them excited their base. Neither of them excite their base in the same way. Both of them have been exposed at various levels as frauds, and that's true. Like the Trump did not drain the swamp. Trump did not pull out of the, and he's not pulling out of the Middle East. Trump, I don't think there's going to be the same excitement at the base for Trump, because he's much more of an establishment figure now. Because he's basically been, I believe he's been collected, and I think people increasingly see that the state has gotten their hooks into him, and he's less of a figure who's challenging the establishment and is more embedded within it. Similarly, I think Sanders has been weak because he keeps on backing down in the face of big business, of Biden, of Clinton. And, you know, he's vacillated on positions, whether it's the war sometimes. What was the other? I can't think of the other ones right now. But, you know, he's been wishy-washy on things. But one thing that he has not been... I know the one where he talked about the political revolution, right? He's given up that line and actually said, oh, I'm with Obama. We don't need a revolution, you know? But I think this issue about Medicare for All, which is where Warren went into the tank when she went away from that, I think that's going to be a big issue. And I think that the hunger at the base of the American electorate for somebody who's different is enough that a person like Bernie Sanders could I think, not just win the primary, but could win the presidency. But the problem, there's a few problems, and this is where I think Trump will win, even though I do think if there was a strong left populist, they should be able to beat Trump in this country in 2020. But they won't for a few reasons. One, the establishment, the Democratic Party establishment and the capitalist class establishment is going to like kind of spit up a hairball if he became the president. I mean, if he became the candidate, and they're going to have a tough time getting behind him. So he's going to be like Trump was. There's going to be never Sanders people within the Democratic Party who will refuse to support him. And even though there's a set of people who want to go with him, and I think Sanders is going to have a tough time with that. Furthermore, I think Trump is a brawler politically, and I think Sanders is weak. I think Sanders is, to me, he seems like a person who just flops over like a fish. And it's not even unfortunate, because I think both of them are frauds. I'm just saying, I think he's just going to get pounded by Trump and made to look silly and weak. And I think that may mobilize Trump's base enough so that even though I think Sanders should be able to beat him, I do think Trump will win. I will say, listening to conservatives who support Trump, the person they're most concerned about winning the Democratic primary is Bernie Sanders. But I just think Bernie Sanders' character is weak, and I think his politics are weak, unfortunately, like his belief in them and his willing to fight for them. And even though I think he should win, if he won the Democratic primary, he should be able to become president, given the desire for that kind of change. I guess I'll have to say at the end of the day, I think Trump's going to win.
I want to point out that I do actually agree with you that I think maybe
you mean
Elizabeth Warren, for Kenny, yeah. I think that Elizabeth Warren would be considered for like vice presidency for Bernie Sanders. That, and the second thing is, I've wondered why Trump doesn't really go after Bernie real hard. You know, he even sometimes defends him. In 2016, he said, look what they did to Bernie, you know, for like the Democratic Party, they backstabbed him. And he kept talking about that at his rallies, like, look what they did to Bernie. And then this time around, he's talking about, I don't think that Bernie Sanders said that about Elizabeth Warren. I saw him say that at a rally.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting how it always seems like he defends him in some ways. I think he sees him not as a... And I think maybe political strategists have told Trump, you know, there are people who would vote for you and would vote
That's
for Bernie
correct.
As Sanders
That's correct.
As well. So
yes.
Don't go after Bernie too
That's
hard
correct.
Because
yeah.
you might actually be able to win
Collect
some
those.
Of those,
yeah.
which they have. I know for a fact because my farmer, she told me that many people were voting for Bernie Sanders, but they were disillusioned when he lost, so they voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. So this is in Dixon, here in California.
Yeah.
Not too far from here.
Yeah.
So I know that maybe that might be one of the reasons why he doesn't go after Bernie as hard.
I think that's the big reason. And can I say something? I don't see Warren and Sanders as ever being on the same ticket, because I think they are, I think Warren is put there as a to shadow Sanders and to weaken his candidacy, but unfortunately she hasn't been able to do that. So she would never be his running mate, because she's part of the she's part of the Democratic Party establishment trying to do a takedown on Bernie.
I don't know. I still think that she would capture, you know, some of like the feminist, you know, identity politics type of votes. And again, they're, at least like you said, they've shadowed each other. So at least on visuals, they don't look that far apart. And yeah, they had disagreements, and they'll pull the whole, you know, oh, look, we've put our differences aside, you know, to beat Trump. And but ultimately, I don't think the left is, you know, has the energy. You know, in this case, yeah. The Democrats have the energy to and motivation to jump behind behind the Democratic Party to beat Trump. I do think that the right is way more mobilized. I think Trump keeps that fire stoked up. And you know, there may be some people that, you know, see him as establishment person, but I don't know. I feel like it's about us versus them, you know, politics.
He still has those big rallies.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think, and he's an orator of sorts. He's kind of, you know, I see Obama in him in a way. You know, it's just in a different way, but mm-hmm. he rallies people. He moves people. Mm-hmm. And he keeps that energy going, where on the Democratic side, I don't see anything like that. And, you know, the party's so dismantled.
Yeah.
That I would even say, like, maybe, who knows, maybe, what's his name, Bloomberg will come sweeping in, you know, late in the game. And because I've seen people ask me questions. I mean, like, again, it's not representative of the nation.
Right.
But I see how this guy, Bloomberg, is bombarding, like, the Spanish channels, Telemundo, Univision, bombarding everywhere in that I look at Bloomberg, and I don't see anything from Sanders. And it's, again, this whole notion that California might be a left-leaning state. Yeah. And that's what happened to Hillary, right? Like, where she discarded, you know, the whatever co-workers, right? She never visited them.
Yeah.
So she lost some of those states.
Is Bloomberg running on, I'll give you $1,000 if you vote for me?
No, he's running on... like basically a proven, you know, politician that cares about the people. That's this is the Spanish, or providing jobs. That he's provided well-paying jobs for people in you know, in New York and blah blah blah. And so that's the spiel in Spanish.
Okay.
And I think it's very appealing to people, you know, to a lot of Latino voters.
The Senate.
So Democrat, let's see, I'm saying Sanders, Biden.
Yes.
And we're all saying Trump.
Yes, it looks like
I'm saying Trump will win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Victory, yeah.
All right.
Just to me, it's also symbolic of what's going on worldwide. Mm-hmm. You know, this is more of that march to the right, the constant drum, you know, drums beating to that side, and
that's true.
Maybe that's my next prediction. You know, like that, you know, that movement, the nationalist drum beats to the right are moving steady, and you know, like I was just reading another one in Italy, Salvini, you know, another right wing winning like some historically left, center left, you know. Strongholds in Italy, and you know, we know all over Europe, we know Latin America, you know, in nothing, there is no disruption of this movement at the moment. So that's my next prediction, that movement is going to continue. There is nothing holding it back.
Go ahead.
Because of that. The failure of the left too, you know, again, to provide answers, and you know, being anemic, and so people are disillusioned, and You know, we've seen this in the past again.
Well, I definitely feel like, okay, so in the United States, we've had a We've had an uptick in class struggle in the last 2 years. There's been a historic low level of strikes in this country for almost the last 15 to 20 years. And it got super low in the last decade. But in the last 2 or 3 years, it has made a definite uptick. Still well below what it was in the 30s or the 60s and the early 70s. But an uptick. So that uptick is going to flatten back down to low through the elections. But I do think, so in Europe, I do think we're going to see more things like we're starting to see in France.
Well, let's before we go there, let's try to go in order before I think we're trying to concentrate on the USA, right?
Well, because he's talking about class struggle and he's talking about Latin America.
Yes.
And I think that in the same way, I don't fully agree. Well, I do believe that the right in power is going to face the same problems that the left. So the socialists go to power in South America and they expose themselves as frauds. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen to the right as well. The problems that capitalism makes for people are still going to be those problems. And even though they're going to use racism and divisions and things like that, and it's going to sell to get them in power, year, 2 years, 3 years. So I do think that there's going to be something playing out. It's not going to play out necessarily this year, although I do see mm-hmm. it more playing out in Europe right now than South America. But I see Europe as the leading edge of a rise in class struggle that's a result of no answers being provided from the right, from the left, and no real answers being provided from the right. Although I do see the continued dissolution of things like the European Union will be taking place. So I'll leave it at that.
The Senate. Let's focus on the Senate.
Okay. That'd be the U.S. Senate.
The USA.
Do you want to weigh in on any of this part and then you can go back to the Senate?
Yeah, I will come. Yeah, I will.
You should do it now and then we'll go back to the Senate. You can take.
You were talking about global politics now, I think.
Yes.
If you want to talk about like Brexit, for example.
Just come on, just join us. Join us in this episode, Eduardo. You can be part of this.
I am joining. I am looking at the timing. The global.
And then you can come back to the. You can do the Senate.
I think Brexit will happen, unfortunately. And I think that unfortunately, I think that there are a lot of cyber attacks and cyber warfare that is happening right now. And it has been, there is an entire episode that I encourage everyone to watch on Democracy Now, where they just talked about people who worked for Cambridge Analytica. They interviewed people there. And they also interviewed a person who did this documentary film on cyber attacks. And they go into details that I'm not going to talk about right now. But the point is, these cyber attacks have been tested in African nations, as well as in Latin America, and as well with partnerships with cyber attacks from Israel. So there are lots of already proxy cyber wars going on, and there are changes in election outcomes because of them. So I do really believe that this is going to make it harder for future elections anywhere in the world. And it made, and I want to correct something that I had said some time ago when I was in Spain and we did the episode, is that I do support people who are for Brexit only if it's not something that is being inundated and persuaded by some cyber warfare trying to persuade people for racist ideas. I think that if people want to Brexit because of European Union is not looking out for their interests as the working class, then that's different. But if it's for racist ideas that are being persuaded for, and they did this like different personality tests that people are either trying to persuade them out of fear or try to persuade them because of egotistical reasons, whatever it is, then I don't go for that, because then how can you really get an outcome that is authentic if people are really being persuaded by just psychological warfare? So going back is this, Brexit is going to happen, and France will have another Macron, which is a capitalist, extreme capitalist, disguised as a left-wing person, trying to look out for the interest of the rich, as he is now doing. And in Mexico, unfortunately, I think people are going to be very disillusioned with AMLO. But I think Latin America really looks to AMLO as the leader in the left.
The holdout for the left.
Yes.
The last left.
Because there's so many turnings
to the right.
To the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious about this notion, you know, that...
The cyber stuff.
That's another episode.
I think
I don't agree with that either.
So. Yeah, because manipulation has always happened.
Exactly.
You know, but not at this extent. There has really been...
Well, about television, you know, and
always
newspapers.
No, it's different this thing.
I don't know. I find
this is more catered to a specific group. This is.
But that's what I'm saying. But not everyone, for example.
Well, let's,
I know people that don't watch the pay for
right.
no commercial YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not always exposed, and that's all they watch. So my point is that I think we have to be careful with that line of argument because I think it undermines the anger of people.
Yes.
The fact that they're pissed because they've been disillusioned, their economic situations is not improving. On the contrary, they're struggling. And so they do, and I agree, they are more prone to be, you know, manipulated in some way by lies, as always. But we're undermining the fact that they're pissed
less
for general
prone,
reasons.
Less prone to be manipulated.
Well, I think
that's
that this
point.
Is up for debate for another episode.
Okay.
Another episode.
Yes.
We're doing 2020 predictions right now.
Yes. But, so. Yeah. But it, when he cited it as a Democracy Now! Point, I already knew it was horseshit.
This was an interview from Cambridge Analytica.
Okay.
Cambridge Analytica is not
that's double horseshit.
Now or here or there.
They're two
it's
great
neither
taste
here
taste
nor there.
Together.
Cambridge Analytica is specifically was a specific right wing group working for undermining lots of left wing or left centrists.
That's why we have to control the internet.
And no, I'm not saying that. I did not say that.
Right, but
that's
that
not
also
my,
comes.
No. But I'm saying that we have to acknowledge it. And this is not something to be discussed right now.
And because I've had that opinion too, but
yes.
You know, I think it does undermine, you know, the anger of people and, you know.
And the independence of that anger. It's coming out and it's not able to be controlled. That's why Trump got elected.
Right. This is up for debate on another episode.
All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. Eduardo's right. Eduardo's right. enough of this.
One last point.
Okay.
That can piggyback on Russiagate, you know, Russiagate, that whole
yes,
Analytica.
Oh
and
God.
So, and again, and I think that's part of the lack of, you know, respect for people that voted for Trump or conservatives, the working people, you know, that their anger is not being heard. And liberals have done this for a long time.
Yes.
And so there is a result.
Yes.
There is the result because we keep using this stuff that they don't know better, that we know better than they do as liberals, progressives. And so and we're going to keep getting those results.
For our listeners and viewers, I have some agreements with some elements of what both of you are saying, but I'm not going to indulge because right now we're not concentrating on this.
So you do believe that Democracy Now! Is horseshit?
I did not say that.
Oh, okay.
I did not say that.
Sure,
so I'm just not going to indulge right now. Let's get to the
next.
Senate. Yes.
I do think that the GOP will maintain hold of the Senate. I think it's right now.
Currently, they have the Senate.
Yes, they
but they don't have the Congress.
Yes,
yeah.
We're talking about
they don't have the House
Republicans.
Yeah,
yeah, they will hold control over the Senate in the USA. That's my prediction. Anyone else?
I will say that. Shit, that's a good. Okay, I haven't had to think about this one, but I will. Yeah, say I think the Republicans hold the Senate. And I actually think, because I think Sanders, if I was going to say Sanders is going to win, I think that's going to be hard for the kind of candidates that will be running as, and I don't think there's a base to he's not going to have a coattails that's going to draw people in. I think Democrats are going to lose people in the House as well. So it could be a Republican House and a Republican Senate. I think that's a possibility with Bernie Sanders running. Because that's the nightmare scenario for the Democrats. And I think... I think the people who are these strategists, they at least, I do believe that they know what they're talking about when they talk about how these things, you know, play out.
Well, they look at this from history as well. Right?
Yeah, so they just know how the polls go. And so this one, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that. So I haven't had time to think about it, but I think if what I'm thinking is going to happen, then I think what that means is either the Democrats lose the House or they lose a lot of seats, and they almost lose the House.
Yeah.
Do you think Ocasio-Cortez is going to win again?
Yeah, she doesn't have a very resistant. There aren't any people who are going to compete against her. She's very much liked. She's a popular candidate. People just will stay away from trying to compete with her.
Now, there's people primarying her right now, but I do think she's raising a lot of money outside of her district.
Yeah, I'm curious because, you know, I've seen like Republican candidates that check the boxes. You know, like I've seen, I don't know their names, to be honest, but I've seen like, you know, like a black woman, yes, that wants to run against her. I also saw like a Latina, and yeah, to quote her, actually happens to be a Guatemalan migrant, legal migrant. And they're using these, again, check boxes,
yeah,
you know, a legal migrant woman from Guatemala. So they learned the tricks, you know, the yeah, Republicans know what's up. And they're gonna, you know, and I happen to think that most, like, Latinos have conservative values. Mm. And
yeah,
so,
they do, actually. When I went to Miami, híjoles.
Yeah.
They Super were Bowl. Very, no, I just Check realized, you know, it was a whole yeah, different section, yeah.
But I mean, but Miami is also like, just a quick note, it's like a microcosm of the ruling class of Latin America. That's where the yeah, kids go to party. That's what the elite go live in
well,
Miami.
Well, it's also like the difference between, I realized, but, I mean, I knew this intuitively, but the difference between other like Central Americans, like Nicaraguans or Venezolanos or Cubans, the rich immigrated to the USA. The rich in Mexico stay. It's the poor who leave Mexico. The rich stay, and they have visas and tourist visas and everywhere. They can travel anywhere and have two homes in two different countries. Yeah. But the poor leave Mexico. So the rich in so-called communist or socialist countries, they leave. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they have more conservative values. Mm-hmm. So I have encountered lots of Cubans who are completely against Bernie
right,
Sanders.
And some of them feel like their stuff got taken.
Yeah. So, you know, people who don't are not okay with Maduro.
Cuban Americans, Nicaraguan you know? Americans.
Right. And I was just...
But there are plenty of people, there's a whole wave of poor people from Central America.
Of course, of course. But I'm just saying in Florida, the old time, well, people were from a certain generation.
Yeah.
Are very conservative, yeah, I have found.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And Mexicans have constantly immigrated. The poor have mostly immigrated, and the rich have always stayed. Which is, I found the difference in just that interesting.
Anything else to say?
For the USA Supreme Court, we have to say it. I hate that this country only has lifetime appointees. In Mexico, well, I already said this in a different episode. We have a Supreme Court justice, magistrates, but they're 15 years in power. You know, and here in as a judge, and here it's a lifetime appointee. So you have, you know, poor Ruth Ginsburg, she's holding out as long as she
away.
Can. You know, and that's because of this lifetime appointee thing you have here.
Yeah.
Which in Mexico we have 11 justices. Here you have 9, and in Mexico 15 years, and here you have for life. No wonder people are trying to hold out as much or, you know, threatening with retirement.
But what's your prediction?
That she, unfortunately, will eventually, naturally, have to pass away.
You're predicting that she passes away this year?
I think maybe she will not
step
be
down.
Able to be
yeah.
in full capacity to be able to continue being a judge.
I think that's possible.
Maybe not death, but she's going to have to step down eventually.
She can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that.
So that's when I predict.
Yeah.
And if not, someone of them are going to retire.
Yeah.
And he's going to. So my prediction is that Trump will have an appointee this year.
Another one. Right?
He had makes some sense. Yeah,
he's had
two.
Now he'll have a third.
Third, yeah. I could see that. I like that prediction.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Anyone of you two?
Oh, another prediction?
Well, that. I mean, do you think that's what happened?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right.
Kenny?
Yes, I buy into that.
Yes.
Any Supreme Court...
Can we go on to something else like that's interesting?
Dios mío. Who rules here? We know now.
So here's a question I have. The Middle East. The U.S. is not pulling... Trump, the U.S. is not pulling out of the Middle East. And I think Israel and Saudi Arabia will become much more... I think this year Israel is going to become much more of a weapon in the Middle East. They've always been one, but I think a much more aggressive weapon, particularly in relationship to Iran. And I think there's a chance that if Iran stays on a path where they're like, forget y'all, we're just going to, you know, develop our nuclear weapon, I think there's a chance that they get one of their facilities gets hit.
Israel.
By Israel or the United States. Yeah. Because I think I think Iran has had, the Iran regime has been in some trouble since this whole stuff went down with Soleimani.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's put the United States on a front foot to push them into a box. So I think I have to say it, but I think Trump got away with one.
Yeah, he did.
And the United States and the U.S. ruling class got away with one. And so they pulled it out again. And so I think they'll be emboldened to act recklessly. And so I can see them doing such a thing.
I think that Netanyahu will stay in power. And I have sort of something hopeful for some reason. I don't like to voice speculations like this, but I think that there won't be in Trump era Third World War. I don't really think so. I have seen people, like, not people, literally people, I'm talking about like Iran, not really go on the offense here or the defense really well. I mean, even the last missile attack that they did was an accident on the plane, and the other one on the military facilities was warned before they attacked.
Okay,
and sure. That's very diplomatic, but mm-hmm. trying to still show they have some mm-hmm. power, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I think North Korea as well won't do that as well. And I just, those things make me think that they are, everyone is playing very carefully around this, and they're just trying to bluff.
So
there's a lot of bluff going on.
So is the escalation, quote-unquote, of those tensions you're saying have fizzled out?
I don't think it... They're fizzling out. I think that they just won't escalate to an entire war. I really don't think that it will, given that I've seen that they haven't reacted in the same way.
I don't think the United States is, but I agree with you that the U.S.'s targets have not been as responded as, but I don't think the United States is backed down.
Right, yeah.
Because I think to the extent that their opponents did not back down, the U.S. has stepped in, putting more troops in the region, actually, and continuing to bomb certain elements of areas of Iraq. But they're going after the Iraqi mobilization force that was supposedly part of the Iranian attempt to kind of curry favor within Iraq. And all this whole thing about kicking the United States out of Iraq, where did that go? It's nowhere. So... apparently, the United States has been able to once again.
Yeah, the USA is a little unpredictable for me, but I think that world leaders have been careful, and that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's wrong, and hopefully, I'm right.
Right.
Not because I hope that Eduardo's right, but because for the world not to continue to go into World War III.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think that it has that. Escalation has died out. I think, I don't know how much of that was calculated, you know, and but definitely Trump, no Trump, no pun intended, got the better deal. And so I think, I don't see right now the prospect of escalations for, you know, a world war of sorts. Obviously, that can change within, you know, weeks, as that showed, you know, depending on the response of, you know, in this case, Iran. I do think the U.S. is cemented its grip in the region because they've shown how bold they can be and they can come out on top. And I ultimately think that this is going to play in favor of Trump in the elections, just bringing it back to this. And because he can play that very much about being anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because he's not engaged in a major conflict of his own making, at least in public opinion. So he can definitely pull that card. And but so I think the U.S. is better positioned now.
I mean, I'll be clear. I am not saying that the tensions are lowered in that region. Mm-hmm. I would just say that the U.S. has been successful at getting the people that they're trying to put pressure under to back down. Mm. But I think the tensions are still very great. This whole impeachment thing is about Russia and about U.S. imperialism and about U.S. projecting power and how to do that. So that project is not going away. And like we all said, if you think Brexit's going forward, the national split up is still going to continue, which means the U.S. you know, has to position itself to come out on top. Because while I don't think there's going to be an economic collapse or a recession this year, all economists know that there's something coming.
Yeah,
but I can't predict one this year, but I'm not predicting there will be this year, because it would, if it does happen this year, it scrambles the eggs of any election we're talking about in the United States. So then things get really unpredictable, and I don't know how to make a prediction in the context of a complete, like a repeat of 2008, and most economists that I've heard say that the next one is going to be worse than 2008.
Mm. Now, I think speaking further with that is that I think global poverty will continue rising,
yeah,
and that the gap between the rich and the poor will continue widening, yep, in the world.
Yes.
If that is happening, it's going to happen in increasingly an alarming state.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, just to add to that.
And I think that from that, you know, this whole, especially coming to election time, the politicization of like the migrant caravan, refugees, all this stuff is going to
worsen.
It's definitely going to worsen. Yeah. I mean, I think we are at the beginning of something, not just on this year, but in the next, you know, years to come. But definitely going to see that more in the news again, because it happened in 2016, you know, and I think it played in favor of Trump, you know, into the whole nationalist, you know, border security and border rhetoric and concerns of working people who feel like they're already struggling, and if more immigrants are coming, they might, you know, they're going to struggle even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, yeah, no, at least from Central America, from what I know, you know, having roots there, from Central America, this is just the beginning. I mean, there's an area called the Dry Corridor in Central America, where basically it's drought, and it's pushing people like out.
Mm.
And you know, as it is, there is little prospects for jobs in the region because of capitalism, historical, you know, colonialism with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, more and more people are gonna come, and they're gonna have to fight more, obviously, militarized borders, you know, the southern border of Mexico with Guatemala, El Salvador itself, also.
There was a recent caravan that has happened in Mexico,
yeah,
in the south right now, and the Mexican immigration officers were really brutal.
Under a socialist government, right? Like, no, a socialist president.
Well,
in
yeah, Eduardo's friend, AMLO.
But, no, but that's the other thing. That's the other, the U.S. is going to continue to exert their pressure, you know, because I think that's one thing Trump has achieved, that he's been able to isolate every country and make them bend their knee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's part of the, you know, taking on China, you know, that was part of showing these countries, you can't take on us.
Yeah.
You know, if we can take on China, how can you take on us economically?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why every single president, you know, the Mexican president has bowed down, the Guatemalan new president, he's a, you know, correctional officer that just emboldened the use of guns to its police. You know, that was his first speech taking office last week, actually. Yeah. He said, you know, the state, you know, it's been too long, the police haven't had the support of the state. The state has your support if you use your guns.
Yeah.
That's the mentality of, you know, the people governing Central America now. You know, it goes from Guatemala, Salvador, Honduras, they're all bowing down to the U.S.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do.
Mm.
One other, maybe last one I wanted to bring up was China and North Korea.
I was going to go there as well.
You want to say something about that?
Well, I feel like, maybe I think it's different, but I was going to say that their surveillance state is not going to be any different from our surveillance state that we have here in the USA and the Americas. I think it will increase. I think that surveillance state, we already have it. I'm just saying it's going to be more facial recognition, more cameras on the streets, more police force working with social media, as they are. It'll be more openings for that, and it'd be more clear that they are not going to hide it. And that's what I mean. It's just, it's already happening, but it's going to have even more more alliance between the tech companies and the government.
I definitely agree. That wasn't going to go in that direction, but I definitely agree we're going to see the growth of artificial intelligence usage, facial recognition, surveillance, saying things around your computer and then suddenly getting commercials from those things on your phone, you know. So
recorded at home.
Yeah, so I agree with that. I don't know if you want to say something, because I want to say something about North Korea and China geopolitically.
Oh, you want to talk,
But do you want to say anything about the surveillance stuff?
I mean, I agree. I mean, it's just going to keep going. Is that, you know, it's been happening, it's going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
And that this idea that, at least some years ago, I think that the tech, you know, industry was like this enlightened group of capitalists.
Or that would be a pathway to liberation.
Yeah, exactly. It's out the window, you know. Yeah. And that's why if we just make a connection, it bothers me when we're talking about, again, censorship, right? Giving these companies the power to decide, you know, and ultimately being following the powers of any, or, you know, government,
right?
Really, for whatever use they have,
right.
And we already know that they can manipulate laws to, you know, to repress dissent, you know, and they can accuse you of whatever, and so it's not a, you know, it's a very bleak future, but.
But outside of revolution or pushback, social, I mean, unless there's something like that happens, then that's the way this stuff is headed. And it's not, technology is not going to liberate us unless workers get control of that technology.
Yeah.
Which means they have to have control of their own state and they have to get rid of, you know, corporations. So, what I was going to say about North Korea, what I was going to say about North Korea and China is ask, I think that U.S. will continue to make overtures with North Korea, even you know, play this game. Like, North Korea's sometimes seem to be getting out of their little, you know, going too far. But I believe that the U.S. will continue to try to make overtures towards Kim Jong-un and bring him into the fold. And at the same time, I do believe that the trade war, the trade stuff, and the divisions between the United States and China are going to get worse. So I think those are the two things that will, because I think every time the United States is trying to make things difficult with China, it leads them to make more overtures with a major Chinese ally of North Korea. So that's something I expect to continue apace. I don't think there's going to be some sort of trade deal reached where there'll be a detente. I do think those divisions and things will continue to get worse between China and the United States.
Another prediction. I think that we made an episode, it wasn't very popular because it was a little heavy loaded with a lot of science. But if you remember, for our viewers and listeners, you can check out our CRISPR episode. And this one was very, thank you, Andy, for providing a lot of the science-based explanations. But I think that CRISPR will have will be the increasing amount of gene editing. I think it's already happening secretly with humans. That's how I think of this. But I think there will be more exposure for people, mostly rich people, accessing gene editing for babies to have certain inherited traits.
Genetically modified
embryos
and things like that. Okay.
Yeah, I think that this technology will continue now, be more widely, not this year, but the beginning stages of cracking up, cracking some scientists to finally accept that there's no way to leash this.
Right.
It's my
put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah. I really, maybe it's not going to immediately happen, but scientists are just going to eventually say, you know what, it's already out of the bottle.
Yeah. That's it for me.
I'm trying to see, and I think that global carbon emissions, if some people believe that it exists or not, but
I do think cars put out carbon dioxide. I think companies put out more carbon dioxide.
But I think that more environmental destruction,
yeah,
it will worsen. And I do think that...
And I think the capitalists will continue to do nothing about
this
it.
This last stupid meetings. COP conference in Madrid was of no use, no service.
Like the last 20 no outcome.
Except that it seems to more legitimize the carbon trading.
Yes. I want to focus on that. Basically, there are no compromises that the government will do to try to lower or to make any concessions for the environment. That's just the fact. As long as, and we had an episode as well that I want our listeners and viewers, maybe we can put that episode where basically what the environment is going through with so much environmental crisis, with fires and forests and agriculture and toxic lands and toxic waters and plastic everywhere, it is just never going to cease under capitalism. That's just it. So it just won't, because everything is profit driven and governments are not willing to even change a little bit that is going to make any difference. There is no difference under a capitalist system. So I think that will just worsen.
Yeah.
Is that it? Anyone else have? I'm trying to look for more.
I predict that Kenny will be more involved in these episodes in the future of What's Left.
He has to come for the cyber attack warfare episode, since apparently you two have something to say.
We do have something to say about
which I don't know if that was...
I also predict that the socialist train will not get moving, either though people will think that Bernie Sanders is part of the socialist train. That is not the socialist train, that is the socialist train going over the cliff.
But I do think...
But Eduardo, since the socialist train is not moving, Eduardo will not be joining the socialist non-moving train this year.
But I do think there are more people waiting for that train. You know, maybe one or two that I may
Eduardo's waiting for it. He's the guy right here waiting.
There's others.
I play my cards carefully.
Well,
Just
gotta convince him to push.
Yes.
You know, if being at the station is, I think is better than not being there at all.
Yes, thank you.
And I predict that I will be enjoying another year of episodes of What's Left. So that's my prediction, at least.
All right, good, yes. So, yeah, we'll have another episode. We already said what the next episode will be.
What is the next episode? I think it might be you reporting for France.
Yes, actually, you're right. We should do that one. And then we should do this cyber attack.
I'm also going to Europe. I'm going to Spain and Italy.
When's that?
In April, early April.
That's a long,
you know, whatever.
Long
way, but I went.
Okay.
So I will talk. That's
okay, good, yes. Okay, I can give you lots of pointers. How to live very cheaply in Europe.
Right. And you can get your own reports on the ground to find out what's really going
on. I'm
going to
be a tourist. No, but I'm always watching, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us. For our listeners and viewers, you can check us out on any of our 5 platforms on BitChute, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes Podcast, and YouTube. Please.
I will say one thing about BitChute, though.
Yeah,
sorry,
but
BitChute is making it very difficult to upload these episodes. So I don't know. I try to contact them. The episodes sometimes upload, sometimes they don't. So if you don't see an episode on BitChute, it's not because we're not trying to put them on there. It's because they're getting hung up in processing and not loading. So
They're
on there or they're not. But you know, we want to get off of YouTube a little bit because YouTube is completely taken over by Google and whatever. Yeah. But
BitChute, we're only working through algorithms.
Yeah. So, but BitChute is not necessarily working out so well either.
And I thought that was more of a free
that's what the idea
access library.
BitChute.
Yeah. So just to let, but you know, I appreciate you saying these things. It's just, I want to let people know, if you don't see those episodes on BitChute, if you happen to be into that, it's just because we're having processing problems.
Well, I'm even appreciative that you tried to load them there. Yeah. Andy, and it's all thanks to Andy. I should put in the credits. No, really, I do appreciate you doing it. I really do.
The technical innovation, remember that?
Exactly.
All right, so you can subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your family and friends. Thank you, and check us out for our next episode.
Yep, see you next week.
See
y'all.
Ciao.
Did you read what that one person said?
No, I looked for it. Is it on YouTube? Or?
It's on YouTube.
I can find the comments for some reason. Well, I looked on my phone. Maybe I had to look on, like, oh. I don't know.
He said, speak up more. He wants to hear your, the people want to hear your voice.
Wow. Okay. All
right.
They never say anything about
But that. I said, look, we've been doing this 80 episodes. He's on his fourth or fifth, so give him a break.
Okay.
The world has had enough of him.
Go ahead, Eduardo.
I think I spoke some, but I'm speaking now.
That's as loud as you're going to talk?
Well, I hope that I don't have to scream.
this is the world of entertainment. You have to project your voice sometimes.
All right.